everybody, and welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode number 55, and this is the place where we discuss what's going on mommybeta.com and in the mommy world in general. Today on the line, we have Alex.
Hello.
Hello. And myself, Natalie Gafori. Natalie Morris is in transit, actually coming out to the Best Coast for a wedding, and Jennifer's on her way to that same wedding as she's part of the bridal party. So we're all going to be meeting up in the Sacramento area tomorrow to celebrate a friend.
Yes, sans babies.
Yeah, without babies. I'm so excited. It'll be quite a night of, I'll be drinking, you know, apple cider or something like that, or just a tiny bit of champagne, but everybody else will get to have lots of champagne.
Yes. I plan to have one or two.
I'm looking forward to some girl talk. So we'll get a little bit of girl talk done today before we all head out of town. We're going to be talking today about some things in the news and some things on the blog, which are the link between obesity and C-sections, a potty training update, and we're also going to talk about the pros and cons of spontaneous gift giving. So the first thing we're going to talk about is an article that I read about a week or so ago on Babbel. And it was a study linking the percentage of obesity to children, or comparing these percentages of obesity in kids born vaginally versus those born via C-section. And this is, you know, particularly interesting to me since I'm having my second C-section in, you know, less than a few months. So the study was just something that I'd never even. It had never even occurred to me, but it was done with 1,200 women. So not a huge study, but not super small. And 248 of them gave birth via C-section. And by the age of 3, 15.7% of the C-section kids were obese compared to only 7.5% of the vaginally born kids. And they did control for, you know, other factors. And this was just kind of a staggering number to me because that's twice the rate. And, you know, us mommy betas have a lot of C-section babies, you know, except for Nat. But, so this is, what do you think about this, Alex?
Well, I thought, so going into a little bit of why, I thought that was really interesting. And I never thought about that just that babies born vaginally are exposed to the mom's bacteria in the birth canal. And I just thought that was really interesting and it really makes sense. But then it also got me thinking about, not only obesity, but I wonder if it has any link to babies with colic.
Oh.
So if you have a C-section, are you more likely to have a colicky baby versus if you have a vaginal birth?
Right, because the researchers in this study postulate that the main factor for this may be that babies born via C-section don't get that exposure to the bacteria through the birth canal like vaginally born babies do, and that bacteria can kind of populate the baby's stomach and kind of get them going. And that's why perhaps they have, you know, maybe digestion or obesity problems later on in life. So I think it's all, you know, they think that colic's related to some sort of digestion issue. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and it protects the baby.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, it protects them from infection. Which is also, I didn't realize. So that's an interesting point when thinking about having a VBAC for anybody who is thinking about having a VBAC.
Right. And I mean, this is just one study and it's very kind of preliminary research, but it's something to think about. And it's also neat to think about, well, you know, maybe for people who need to have C-sections that eventually they'll have maybe some sort of a supplement they can give the C-section babies at birth to help prevent any sort of problems that might come from them not being exposed to that bacteria. So
this is only one study. So I'd be interested into what happened after birth to 3 years. Like what were the kids who had C-section snacking more for some reason?
Right.
What were their eating habits like? What's their lifestyle? Did they get less activity? So there are a lot of factors that come into it. You know, this is just a glimpse of one study.
Right.
So I'm glad you pointed that out.
Right. And they did control for things like maternal weight, duration of breastfeeding, socioeconomic circumstances, and other things that affect maternal health. But I mean, there's all kinds of other things that who knows could play into those things about obesity. So it sounds like it was a relatively controlled study, but again, it's just one study. But it was something to think about. I mean, I know you know, I mean, Dominic at this point obviously is not at risk for obesity. I think he's crept up to maybe the 15th percentile.
I'm just laughing because you call him your little string bean.
Oh, he's so teeny. He is a string bean. He's actually doing better these days. He's eating better. He's gotten I think he's put a little bit of weight on him. His legs don't seem so skinny. He spends a lot of time naked these days because of all the training.
Yes, so, body training.
Yeah, so he spends a lot of time naked. So I've gotten a good look at his little tush and his little legs, and they seem to be filling out a bit. So
nice.
He's less bony than he used to be. And speaking of potty training, I wanted to give you guys a little update on how it's going. I posted a blog about this maybe about a week ago, and it's actually going really well. I'm actually pretty surprised. It's not perfect. We do still have accidents, but the number of accidents we have is much fewer than I expected at this point. We're a little over a month out, I guess about a month and a week at this point. And, you know, I think he's got a, you know, 98% success rate, something in there.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited. And even when we're out and about, he's gotten really good about telling me when he needs to go. You know, if we're at the, you know, at the bookstore, today we were at the park and he told me, and we went over to the potty and he went, you know, and he goes in public toilets and he goes in his travel potty and he goes here and he goes at daycare. And, you know, he doesn't have, he finally went poop at daycare. I think it was yesterday for his first time. So it seems like he doesn't have any fear surrounding that, which is good.
That's good because I know some adults have issues pooping in other places.
Yeah, no, he's good. He is doing this one thing though that I'm not sure exactly how to handle. I talked about it on my blog. I'm calling it the spite pee. And it's basically he's only done it twice in, you know, over a month. So it's not something he does all the time, but the first time it happened, he wanted to do something. We were in the house. We were eating dinner or something, and he wanted us to play with him because he had finished his dinner, and we were, you know, telling him, no, we're not ready. And he was sitting on the couch and he was just looking at us. And all of a sudden he goes, I'm peeing, or, you know, something along those lines. Because he was basically throwing a fit that we weren't ready to play with him.
Oh my gosh.
And then the other day we were in the backyard, and it was actually kind of the same thing. I think we were eating dinner and we told him we weren't ready to go into the house yet. And he just stood on the steps right next to the sliding door in the backyard. And he was naked at this point, and he just stood there and just let go. and I remember saying to him, you're doing it on purpose.
Oh my gosh. So how do you even handle that?
My mom says to ignore it, which mm-hmm. I think is right. Like, he's doing it to get the rise out of us, mm-hmm. but you can't ignore it completely because you don't want him to think it's okay.
Right.
So I guess it's to react calmly and just be like, you know, you don't do that, and clean it up and don't give him what he's trying to get by doing it.
Right.
But, you know, that's kind of easier said than done.
This is an awful, awful, awful thought, but I have to share it. I'm thinking about when people are and I don't have a dog, but when people train their animals and they stick their nose in their pee. No, I'm not saying or suggesting you should do that.
Alex,
I would never.
How dare you?
I'm thinking of something that would, yeah. Like, would you stick his toe in it? Which is, it's still pretty gross. Like, I don't know.
No. I don't know. It's tricky. And I think because the first time he did it, I thought, well, I kind of think he did that on purpose, but I wasn't 100% sure. And the second time it was blatant that he was doing it on purpose. So now that I know that it's a possibility, I think I might be able to react more calmly to it. Mm-hmm. Because I was so like, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. You know, you're being so spiteful right now.
They are way too smart.
Yeah. It would just really caught me off guard. So I think now that I've kind of thought about it a little bit, my goal will be to be like, no, we don't pee on the floor, you know, put them on the potty or whatever, and then just clean it up and just ignore him.
Got it.
It's going to be the general idea.
That sounds good.
We'll see.
I haven't even started. So I'll be interested.
Hopefully I don't get many opportunities to practice that one.
Mommy, you're not going to give me ice cream? I'm going to pee on the floor.
No. God. These kids. And I remember I was staying with a cousin of mine who had, I think she was three at the time. I stayed with them for a month or two when I started a new job because it was over near where they live. And the three-year-old had a hard time adjusting. This was right after college. Had a hard time adjusting to me being in the house because she was used to having all of her mom and dad's attention. So I remember one day, and she'd been potty trained for a while. She, you know, her mom was trying to get her to do something, and she did this. She spite peed. She stood in the bathroom and just stood there, not on the potty, and just peed. And it was obvious that she was just doing it out of kind of frustration. So I know he's not alone in it, but it just surprises me how much kind of power they have in that. I mean, and that they know they have power in that.
Well, I think they're just starting to have power over how much to eat, what they don't eat, and when they poop and how they poop, and when they can apparently pee.
Yeah. Hopefully it stays with spite peas. I'd much rather deal with spite peas than spite
peas. I agree.
Oh, man. God. Yeah, it's an interesting world of potty training, and I'm sure you'll get there when you're ready for it.
Yes, someday.
Oh, man. Yeah, they are funny kids. So I did want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Gazelle.com. And we have a great idea for you. Before you upgrade to your new iPhone or iPad or, you know, other cool gadget that you want to get, I know we're thinking about getting an iPad for when baby number two comes just to help occupy Dominic a little bit. I wish I had an old one that I could turn into Gazelle for cash so I could upgrade to the new one. So Gazelle.com, it's GAZELLE.com is a great way to sell your used gadgets for cash. You just go to the website and you can type in what you have. If it's an iPhone or an iPad 2, if you want to upgrade to the iPad 3, they'll tell you what it's worth. And then you ship it to them for free, and then as soon as they get it and they verify that it's in the condition that you said it was in, they send you money. And you can get more money if you choose to do an Amazon gift card. And it's just, you know, it's a really easy and smart way to get some money in your pocket and prevent that stuff from going into a landfill.
There's no reason not to do it.
Yeah, totally. So they're really looking for iPhones, iPads, iPods, MacBooks. You know, they're really into the Apple products. And they accept all kinds of other stuff too, you know, cameras and other types of laptops as well. So remember, you know, just like when, you know, your car, the more miles you get on it, the older it is, the less it's worth. It's the same thing with gadgets. So don't let them sit in your garage like mine have been. You know, I've sent in a bunch to Gazelle and got a bunch of money for them. But if I had done it a little bit earlier, I could have gotten more money for them. So clean out your garage, clean out your junk drawer, and send in your old cameras, your old phones, old laptops, and get some cash for summer fun. Sounds like a great idea. So make sure to check out Gazelle.com and tell them that Mommy Beta sent you. So we also want to talk about, you know, this is kind of in the lines of stuff, you know, how much stuff can you have and how much stuff do you need, and you know, what's appropriate as far as gift giving goes. Alex, I think, found this really great article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks ago. Actually, we've been wanting to talk about this one and haven't gotten around to it, but I'm glad we're finally getting to it. And it's basically, it's called The Fine Line Between Indulging Kids and Giving Them Gifts. Alex, do you want to give like a little synopsis of the scenario in the story?
So what first caught my attention about this article is that I'm constantly torn between how much and how much to give Reese for Christmas, birthday, just any day gifts. And this journalist talks about how her husband showers her with these gifts and she loves it, but then he also showers their little boy with all these gifts, new Legos, which he claims are educational, you know, just toys after toys. And, you know, there has to be some balance. And from his perspective, you know, he complains about being deprived as a child. And, you know, she calls it a form of cosmic justice for him today, that he can go to, you know, he can go to the toy store and he can afford to buy and shower his child with love and attention, meaning toys. You know, and so because he didn't have it, he wants to be able to do it. And you know what? That also resonates with me because I can relate. You know, I grew up with four brothers, and my mom was a single mom. We didn't have a lot. And so when, but when we did get something, we so appreciated it and loved it. And I just want to, you know, I want to find that balance because I do catch myself going to Target and, you know, going in there for some cleaning supplies and walking out with these, all these toys for Reese. I'm like, oh, they're not that much. And, you know, so I'm guilty. I'm very guilty of it. And I struggle with it. It's really hard. And I've been trying to, well, one, I'm just trying to stop and think about, okay, one, does she really need it? Probably not. And two, mm-hmm. is there anything that I have at the house that can compare? For example, I decided not to get her a kitchen. One, in large part, because we don't have any more space in our yeah. San Francisco apartment. But two, she enjoys being in the kitchen with me. So I have a little two cupboards for her with pots and pans and bowls and Tupperware that she plays when I'm in the kitchen. So she kind of has her own big kitchen
right.
With me. But yeah, I'm so confused and torn.
Yeah, it's not as hard for me. I really rarely buy him toys. And I don't know if that's, I don't know. I hope I'm not being Scroogey, but my big thing is like, where am I going to put this? Mm-hmm. You know, where's this going to go?
Right.
Because, you know, he already has so much stuff. He is in no way deprived.
Right.
And, you know, he has a lot of other people who, you know, bring him little toys here and there. And I just don't feel like I need to add on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every once in a while I'll do something small. Or I get to be the one who brings the toys out of the garage from the last birthday or Christmas or whatever it was. So he does get to, you know, have new things every once in a while because we usually put things away and kind of dole them out over time.
Oh, we do that. Such a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, it makes so much sense. But, you know, there's kind of a capacity of how much stuff can he really play with. And we haven't really done the thing where we put toys away and then bring them back out because I feel like he does kind of go through everything that he has in the house on a little bit of a rotation. But I don't know. Maybe I'm Scroogey.
I don't think you're Scroogey. I think you're really smart. I think it's really smart. We, you know, we've done little things like we dole things out for, you know, she has Hanukkah, Christmas, birthdays, you know, for her first birthday, we said no presents. You know, we're trying because right. I don't want her to one day, you know, wake up Christmas morning and have all these presents and not be excited about right. them. You know, I was once at a family Christmas and saw a close relative of mine open all these gifts and they were just kind of rip them open, throw them back like they
yeah.
were nothing.
Oh, that drives me crazy.
I'm like, you say thank you, you look at the gift and it's unbelievable. Like, right. I do not want that because when I was little, we opened gifts and we were so excited. I would be just as excited about a box of crayons as like a new Barbie.
Right.
You know, I just don't want her ever to lose that appreciation. And she does, you know, and her dad travels a lot. And when he comes home, he always has a gift for her. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily agree, but I think it's the sweetest thing because she runs up to him, gives him a hug, and she doesn't even ask for a gift. But later yeah. on, after he's been home, he says, oh, honey, you know, I missed you. This is what I brought. And it's always a stuffed animal. Mm-hmm. And she collects them and sleeps with them in their crib. So I think that has some kind of meaning to it versus, oh, here's another toy.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think it probably makes dad feel a little bit better about yeah. having been gone and – you know, I think that's totally reasonable. Although at one day she will run up to him and be like, Daddy, what did you bring?
I know. It's going to break my heart. It is going to break my heart.
It's coming.
She catches on. For example, we go to, Josh and I go to Starbucks a lot on the weekends. And Josh, this is his special treat to her, will ask them to give her, you know, just a half a glass of cold milk. And then she drinks it. So it's her little baby latte. Mm-hmm. And when she goes with me, I don't do that. And she's like, Mommy, milk? I'm like, no, sweetie. And she's gotten upset a couple times, but now mm-hmm. she understands she can't have it all the time.
That's good.
You know, it's a treat. You know, and she's, you know, on the weekends, it's a treat and she's with daddy and mommy. So, you know, it's a family outing versus I get coffee more often because I'm with right. her and I don't want her to think that she can, it's expected. I don't think right. any gift or treat should be expected.
I know we've kind of messed that one up because every time we go to Starbucks, he expects to get a scone, like one of those little mini scones.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, and he does too. But I figure it's not so bad because we don't go very often.
Yeah.
So I figure if it's a treat for me to go to Starbucks, which it is, you know, I go mm-hmm. every couple of, like, you know, every other week or, you know, something like that. So if that's a treat for me, then it gets to be a treat for him to have a scone while we're there. So it's funny because we'll walk past Starbucks or he'll see the logo on something and he goes, scones.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
That's awesome.
At least he's not drinking, what are they, baby chinos or whatever?
Yes. Yep. You know, well, I'm guilty of that too. I've done it a few times. Although her cold milk is basically a baby chino. It's just not warmed.
Well, but the baby chino actually has decaf espresso.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, there is that type too. I think that's crazy.
Yeah, that one's. I was like, Alex, what are you doing? What do you mean you're giving her baby chino?
Just warm milk. Just warm milk with a little foam.
Smart, actually. I kind of wish I had had that idea before I had the scone idea, but I don't know. He's already kind of addicted to milk, so maybe I don't need
to do good.
It.
That's good. Yeah. See, and I'm trying to get Reese to drink more milk.
Well, this is also another reason.
So crazy. So yeah, the gift giving, I just think, you know, everything in moderation and just, you know, try to keep your kid appreciating things.
Yeah. I mean, and I know one thing I like to do is I would much rather surprise Dominic with, you know, an outing, like we're going to a farm or we're going to go paint some pottery. And I do the same thing with birthdays. My new favorite birthday gift is to give a gift certificate to this little paint your own pottery place in the downtown that I live in. And I think it's much more kind of rewarding and long lasting.
That's such a good idea. I love that idea.
And I know, I think you recently found, you just wrote a post about a site you found that kind of helps you find family experiences.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Family experiences versus family activities. Ooh, you should do their marketing.
Ooh.
I'm going to tell them. Yeah, it's called Chatterblock. And I had the pleasure of meeting two of their co-founders last week. And they're so nice. They're from Canada. And basically what this site is, it's kind of just a list of different activities in your community. So right now it's focused on the San Francisco Bay Area. So I know they originated in, at least in the South Bay, I mean in San Francisco Bay Area, in the peninsula, so your neck of the woods, but they just launched in San Francisco.
Oh, that's
and
great.
So, yeah, I can go onto the site and say, I can search for an event or arts and craft or different programs, summer schools. It's very cool and organized. And so they have a team working to scour local events just to make sure that the information on the site is accurate and up to date, which think about how much time you waste on the web. Well, I guess it's not wasting, but think about how much time you spend on the web researching different things to do. And especially on the weekends, if I don't have something planned, Josh and I will kind of, you know, we'll have a leisurely breakfast. And then we look at the clock. It's 10 o'clock. And then from 10 to 11, we figure out, okay, what are we going to do? By the time we figure out what we're going to do, it's time for Reese's lunch and nap. And, you know, it's the nap time we cherish because that's kind of mine and Josh's time just to reconnect and or watch a movie, whatever.
Or take a nap.
Yes. I love this because I honestly last weekend woke up and I just went on the website. And I had just met with them, but I was curious just to see what was going on in San Francisco. So I don't know. It's very cool.
Is it like a subscription base? Or
no,
is it free?
It's free. It's free. Wow. And there is also a forum, which is very cool. So if you have any questions, they have different categories, different forum topics you can participate in. So it's a great concept, and it's really cute how it evolved. I think both of their wives spent a lot of time one summer trying to find summer camps and things to do for the family that summer. And they're like, I wish there was one place you could go. So I don't know. I think it's very cool.
Yeah, that's great. Because, I mean, I usually find out about things either through my mother's club or word of mouth through other mommy friends. Like we last week went to there's a San Mateo Museum of History or something in a neighboring town, and they have free Fridays, and they were doing this cool like Cars program where you do like a Cars craft project and you read a car story and then you learn about different modes of transportation in this new exhibit they have. And it's something that I would have never known of if my friend hadn't, you know, sent this link around. So there's so many programs out there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we don't take advantage of them enough.
That's a really good point. And you can even go on there and look for free events.
So I think something like this would be super helpful.
Yeah. You can also do free events. And if you're looking for a specific day, you can search by day. And last week, I was, Josh and I had nothing to do, and that was when we looked online. I'm like, hey, did you know the Union Street Festival is today? So we ended up taking her to the Union Street Festival.
I couldn't believe it was Union Street Festival. Union Street Festival used to be this like huge deal for us. And we used to have this, Jennifer had this big party on her roof deck, and you know, it was kind of a big drinking day and it was kind of crazy. And then I saw pictures on Facebook that it was Union Street Festival, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm old. I didn't even know it was happening.
Well, same thing with St.
Patty's Day.
Or- yeah, either did we. And they apparently had some fun, I say apparently, but they did have some fun little kitty activities, a few rides, and a big jumpy house. So we took Reese. We were there for about an hour, but it's definitely different now that we have kids.
Yeah, it's a little less boozy, I think.
A lot less boozy.
Yeah, I remember the first year Nick was born, I took him, and I remember That's being up brave. On the deck with him, and he was little because, it's in the first weekend of June, and he's born in March, so he was only a couple months old, and I remember taking him up to Jennifer's roof deck and just being terrified to be up there with him. Like, not only did I climb up this perilous set of stairs, but I'm like three stories up, and I have this infant, and all these people are drunk, like, what am I doing?
Yep. Although this year, they made it dry. So there were no beer gardens and
really,
yeah, you know, but it's on Union Street, which is just a street full of restaurants and bars.
Yeah.
So people were outside drinking, but there, you know, there weren't people walking around with beers.
Yeah,
it was,
I think,
a little
that's
less
smart.
Tame.
I think a lot of those,
I'm a little more tame.
Those events have gotten a little bit out of control, you know, as much fun as they are, you know, that one and, what's the big race? Beta Breakers. You know,
oh, yes.
Yeah, they got to rein it in a little bit. You can indulge in other ways, like in cake. I think these days I'm much more interested in cake than alcohol. We want to say thank you to our sponsor, Bake Me a Wish, who makes amazing cakes. Nat has had the honor of getting quite a few of them, and I haven't had anyone send me one yet, so I haven't gotten to taste it yet. But from what Nat says, they are amazing. And it's bakemeawish.com, and they're one of our sponsors we want to thank today. And they allow you to go on the web and order a cake, a gorgeous, beautiful cake in pretty much any shape or flavor that you can imagine, and have it sent to someone, and you know it's going to get there. They do 24-hour shipping, and you know it's going to be there when you need it there, whether it's, you know, to celebrate something or to say I'm sorry, or, you know, if it's somebody's birthday that you can't be in town for. I think it's a great way to kind of recognize an occasion or to say thank you. So check them out, bakemeawish.com. I'm drooling over the thought of cream cheese frosting as I speak. And make sure to tell them that Mommy Beta sent you. So this is the time of the podcast where we like to give a little shout out to a little victory that one of us has had this week. And Alex has one for us.
Yes, it's more recent for me. Now, so I've talked about not wanting to potty train her yet, but she goes in the corner and poops, and I say, Reese, what are you doing? And she says, big poopy. So I leave her alone, give her some privacy, and I have asked her if she wants to go to the bathroom to do this, but she declines every time. So about 10 minutes, she comes out, and she looks at me straight in the eye and goes, Mommy, change Reese. Like, you are talking and you're telling me you need to be changed. I think you're ready for potty training. So we'll see. I'm hoping I have a couple more months after our summer. Then I'll work on potty training.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like she's ready for you. So which is good, because I mean, that might make it much easier for you. So
I hope so. I've heard it can also be tough because now they can talk and say no. And
yeah, I think if you do it, I wouldn't wait too long,
right?
Since it really does sound like she's ready. But I think it's usually like when they get closer to three, they get a little bit more like, I am going to choose not to do this.
Right.
So I think, you know, it's kind of, if you get it somewhere around two, you know, give or take a couple of months, I think you'll be mostly safe from that.
Yes.
Well, congratulations to Reese on recognizing her bodily function.
Thanks.
And thanks for talking with me today. I'm looking forward to having a nice weekend with the Mommy Betas this weekend. And we wish you all could join us for a glass of champagne. But until instead of that, we'll just have to get together next week, and I'll chat on the podcast.
Yes, thanks. Talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.